Okay, good morning, everybody. My name is Tiari Silvesi, and I'm going to be presenting to you my talk today on the adaptability of fresh market compact growth habit tomato for mechanical harvest and development of fertilization programs to maximize yield potential. So this is a project I worked on with Dr. Shinsky Aguihara at the University of Florida Gulf Coast Research and Education Center. So the fresh market tomato in Florida is a very important crop. Florida ranks number one in the nation for production of the fresh market green tomato. And in case you're not familiar, this is a tomato that's grown to the large green mature stage and then harvested and then shipped to market for people to buy at grocery stores or in restaurants after they ripen. Florida has over 30,000 acres of this fresh market tomato harvested annually and an average yield of around 30,000 pounds per acre. So one of the biggest challenges for tomato production is the labor required in the staking, the tying, the pruning, then the harvesting. If you've ever been on a research experiment and harvested tomatoes, they're big crates, very heavy, and the acreage is huge, you know, to harvest and do by hand. So I saw that 55% of the production cost is from labor. And another problem we're having is there's just a shortage of labor. There's not a lot of people who are interested in doing this heavy manual labor, and especially with the immigration issues. So one idea that the tomato industry in Florida has is to work towards a mechanical harvesting. So mechanical harvesting of tomatoes is currently in practice in other states in the nation, but it hasn't been implemented yet for the Florida, for the fresh market tomato. And to go along with this, we are going to need a new production system. The tomatoes in Florida are currently tied and staked, and that wouldn't go along with mechanical harvesting. So new varieties that are said to be compact growth habit are needed to work with a mechanical harvester. So in order to use the mechanical harvester, like I said, you can't have stakes, you can't have tying, the string would jam up the equipment. Also, the fruit needs to be on top of the bed so that the mechanical harvester can get it. We use raised beds for our production system, and if the fruit is down in the furrow, it can get smushed by the tractor, so we don't want that. And then the benefits of mechanical harvesting, of course, is just the reduced need for labor in general and the reduced cost of labor for staking and tying and harvesting. So tomato breeder at the University of Florida, Dr. Sam Hutton, developed this new inbred line, Florida 8924. And this was bred to have determinate vines with short branches, short inner nodes, also jointless so that the tomato stem does not stick on the tomato fruit and does not require pruning, staking, tying. Because they're smaller, compact plants, less fertilizer and water and pesticide inputs are said to be needed. And they also have a concentrated fruit set, whereas the standard variety, you harvest three times. But using the mechanical harvester, you're only going to harvest one time all at once. So we want the fruit set and the harvest to be ready all at once. And along with the new variety, we want to develop new fertilizer recommendations. So the objectives of this study were to determine the adaptability of Florida 8924 for mechanical harvest and to determine the optimal fertilization rate for the Florida 8924. So this research was conducted at the Gulf Coast Research and Education Center in Balm, Florida, which is near Tampa, Florida. And we did two experiments in the spring and fall of 2018. If you're not familiar with the seasons in Florida, we plant our first crop for the fall starting in September or late August. We seed them in the end of July, beginning of August. And then they're ready to harvest at the end of November, and then we plant another crop, starting the seeds in January, planting date of February. So we can get two harvests per year. The experiment design was a split plot, our CVD, with four replicates. And we had the fertilization programs for the main plot, and then the cultivars for the subplot, and the staking method, which was either staked or unstaked, for the sub-subplot. And these are grown in the Mayaca fine sandy soil on the plastic mulch raised beds with standard practices. So a little bit more detail about the fertilization programs. Like I said, there were some... Does the mouse thing work? There was some pre-plant fertilizer incorporated into the bed of all plots, which you can see in the left column. And then the rates were all the same amount of nitrogen overall, which we determined the optimal amount from previous experiments. But the rates that were varied was the method of delivery. So a variable amount of banded and fertilizer applied through the drip irrigation via fertigation. So all of the total was 258 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And you can see how they're varied, like N1 has zero banded nitrogen and 202 kilograms per hectare of drip nitrogen. And they're kind of converse of each other. And then you can see the picture there is our Dosatron fertilizer injector, which was used to inject the liquid fertilizer. But the band nitrogen was also applied pre-plant, not incorporated, but as a band before planting. So to simulate the mechanical harvesting, since we do not currently have a mechanical harvesting machine, we collected the fruit on the top of the bed separately from the bed furrows. And again, these were done in a one-time harvest. The tomatoes, we used a tomato grading belt and then graded to USDA standards. And then I did my statistics in SAS with the PROC mix procedure. So moving now to results. The pictures here show the Florida 47 and the Florida 8924 tomato. And you can see how the Florida 8924 tomato is more compact growth, and it stays more on the bed top and as compared to the Florida 47. So just looking at some basic growth measurements, the stem of the Florida 47 was smaller than the stem of the Florida 8924. That means the stem was thicker, and so it helped the plant stay upright longer. Also, the Florida 8924 was very consistent in the height, the plant height, both years at 35 centimeters, whereas there's a little bit more variability in the Florida 47. So looking at the adaptability to mechanical harvest, these traits of being a compact growth habit tomato are beneficial, and we determined that it is adaptable to mechanical harvest, having more fruit on the bed top. So the red line represents what would be able to harvest using a mechanical harvester machine, and you can see there's a lot more fruits and vegetation that's in the furrow where it's not able to be harvested with the Florida 47 as compared to the 8924. So looking now at the marketable fruit yield, if you look at the graph on the left, then you'll see that we have the two varieties, unstaked or staked, in the x-axis, and the y-axis is the marketable fruit. And so what we saw here is that the staking depends on the cultivar, the effects of the staking. So for the Florida 47, the effects of removing the stakes were greater, and we experienced reduced yields from 38% to 43%, which were significant in both the spring and the fall. And for the Florida 8924, removing the stakes actually increased the yield in the spring season by 6%, but we did find a reduction of the yield in the fall season at a 23% reduction. And when we're evaluating this new inbred line, which will later lead to cultivars, we're looking at How will it do the unstaked Florida 89-24 versus the staked 47, Florida 47? And the criteria that was set forth was that the new cultivars need to produce at least 80% of the yield. So eliminating the staking and then getting 80% yield of the staked Florida 47. In both in the spring and the fall, we were able to achieve at least 80% yield. So that's really promising. Looking at the fruit size in the spring, there was a significant difference between the two cultivars, and the Florida 89-24 did have significantly smaller fruits, about 12 grams lighter. So that's not really a good thing, but we saw no differences in the fall, so we could further evaluate this. Looking at the nitrogen rate, you can see in the top right-hand corner is my little cheat sheet to remind you what N1, N2, N3, and N4 means. So in the spring, no significant differences, but we did find the highest yields of 89-24 that was not staked, which what we do mechanical harvesting, was the rate of N1, which included minimal pre-plant of banded nitrogen and a very high rate in the drip. So the drip was applied weekly over the 10 weeks of the tomato season. And so I'd like that in spring. In the fall, we did see significant differences, and the two best rates were the ones in the middle, which were a combination of banded nitrogen and drip nitrogen. And so it kind of depends on the season, what results we found in this year, which is the best fertilizer program. So in conclusion, we found that the breeding line Florida 89-24 can achieve, even without staking, high marketable yield competitive to a commercial standard cultivar under the staked production system. Like I mentioned, it did meet that 80% criteria, which is the requirement for adoption. And the yield of the Florida 89-24 can be improved by adopting the optimal fertilization program for each season, which was more drip nitrogen with minimal preplant in the spring, and then a combination of banded nitrogen and drip nitrogen in the fall. So I'd like to thank Dr. Shinsky Aguihara, Dr. Sam Hutton, our other collaborators at GCREC, Dr. Gary Vallad, Dr. Smith and Dr. Desiger, and also I forgot to write on here Dr. Steve Sargent, who was also a co-PI in the project. I'd like to thank our funding source, which was the FDAC Specialty Crop Block Grant Program, and all the farm crew at our research center who helped out with this experiment. They really took good care of us. So I have a couple minutes for questions. Okay, in the back. Okay, so the question was in regards to disease management and if there were any differences between the varieties. We did track the disease management in the culls, and we actually had a good year for the tomatoes last year. The main disease that we saw was the bacterial spot on the fruit, and we noticed that was greater in the Florida 47 variety, especially the fruits that were down in the furrow. We also had some blossom end rot, which was about equal in both varieties. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Yes?
Have you seen any difference in terms of fruit quality, for example, scar on the skin compared with the staking?
Okay, the question is, was there any difference in the fruit quality? The new inbred line, the 89-24, that is a jointless variety, so the stem is removed when you harvest it easily, and so we saw less damage from stems poking into other fruits and damaging the fruit in that way. And As far as scars or other types of deformities, not much differences. Okay, thank you very much.